Hey, this is Morgan Pratt with the JMAC for Congress campaign. If you're listening to this podcast, sounds like you like JMAC. You can find out more about him by going to his Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube channel. Please remember to subscribe and rate us. Now coming up, more JMAC.
Hello there, and welcome into another edition of the JMAC podcast. We'll call this impeachment edition number one. We just concluded a day of hearings, impeachment hearings, public hearings in the House, and a lot was learned, and there is a lot to be gleaned from these impeachment hearings. Now, my goal, if I can do it, I'm not going to make any hardcore promises, but if I can do it, my goal is to watch as much of the hearings as I can, and then to bring you my thoughts and opinions about the hearings at the end of the day. Now, I have some scheduling issues, so I'm going to, you know, I can't make it a 100% promise, but that's my goal. And I am approaching these hearings as if I was a member of a jury. That's my goal. If you know me, you know that I try really hard to get the biases out of the way and to try and give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And so as I watch today as a member of the jury, I ask myself questions whether or not the points that the Democrats were making, whether those hit home or not, and the same with Republicans. And so that's my plan, to tell you, if I had to vote today as a member of the jury, how would I vote? That's how I'm approaching these hearings, and hopefully that will help you, because I know most of you, you can't sit there and watch the hearings all day, and so you're going to hear the sound bites depending on which news organization you listen to, and it's going to be hard to formulate an opinion in that way. So let me start out with my first observation here. Is it the Ukraine or is it just Ukraine? Because everybody keeps interchanging these things. I thought that the Ukraine was not the correct way to say it. That you just say Ukraine. Okay, let's just skip past that. You can leave a comment in our comments whether or not it's the Ukraine or Ukraine. I think it's just Ukraine. But so many people kept saying the Ukraine today. Okay, let's get to the hearing today. Now, I felt that both sides made some pretty compelling arguments. I thought the Democrats landed some punches, and I thought the Republicans landed some punches. So I think the best way to go about this is to start with the Democrats and tell you where I felt that they drove some points home, okay? The first thing that they did for me is they really demonstrated that President Trump's behavior towards Ukraine, or the Ukraine, was highly irregular. That if his attempts were here to somehow stop corruption in Ukraine or to reform Ukraine, that those arguments really don't stick here. It became pretty obvious here that the president of the United States was interested in digging up dirt on his political rivals. I think that's what happened on day one of the hearings. I still think that that's what happened. And his behavior was called irregular at best. And then that Rudy Giuliani's behavior, way out of the norm. To have a private citizen, the attorney of the president of the United States, working directly with Ukraine in order to dig up dirt on a political rival, not appropriate. And they really drove home that that's what happened here. And the Republicans really did nothing to dispute that fact, that this was an irregular channel. It's not appropriate and it shouldn't happen. The Republicans tried to make it look like the president was concerned about corruption that had been going on in Ukraine for years. The Democrats did a great job of dispelling that. I think where I sit on the jury today, the president was after dirt on a political rival. That's what his goal was. And I think they made that case today pretty well. So let's talk about where the Republicans really did an important work today for their case and for their president. they really took apart the quid pro quo argument. Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on, the accusation is that there was military aid that was slated to go to Ukraine, and that the president canceled or paused that money and told the president of Ukraine, hey, if you want that money, you're going to investigate my political opponent, Joe Biden, and his son. If you don't do it, you're not going to get the money. That's quid pro quo. That's what that means. Well, you know what? That argument really was taken apart today. And let me tell you how. The first thing that came out was that Ukraine and the president of the Ukraine, on the day of this infamous phone call that we've all seen the transcript for, they didn't know that the funds had been withheld at the time of the call. In fact, they didn't find out for weeks. And in fact, they had already agreed to things before they ever found out that the money had been withheld. It's pretty hard to make a quid pro quo argument when one part of the equation is not shared. If the president was trying to make it clear that they were not going to get aid, wouldn't he have said in this phone call that I've paused the aid and you don't get the aid until you do these investigations? But there were three different meetings that the ambassador had with Ukraine, and in not one of those meetings does any type of quid pro quo or the idea that the monies had been paused came up. Pretty hard, in my opinion, to make a quid pro quo argument when the punishment part of the quid pro quo is not brought up. Now, maybe it was implied, maybe it was inferred, I don't know, but Ukraine didn't know the money wasn't coming. So that doesn't hold up for me yet. Maybe with future witnesses and testimony, they can drive that point home. But as far as where I landed on day one of the testimony, I wouldn't vote today that there was quid pro quo, because there was no knowledge that the president was willing to or had suspended the money. You have to connect those dots. If they can connect those dots in the future, then that will be back on the agenda. The other part of the quid pro quo argument that was taken apart today by the Republicans was the fact that the president of Ukraine has come out multiple times, spoken to multiple U.S. Press agencies and his own, and he has said at no time was there ever a quid pro quo. At no time did he feel blackmailed. He didn't know about the money being withheld. So at no point was he being extorted or blackmailed. Now, the Democrats tried to make the point. They said, oh, well, he has to say that because he's afraid of the president. Well, as I'm sitting on the jury, unless you can document that somehow, unless you can prove that somehow, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let that into my mind of evidence. You've got to demonstrate that the president of Ukraine did know the money was withheld. He did know that there would be a punishment if he didn't start these investigations. At this point on day one, they didn't make that clear. The Democrats failed to connect those dots. And because of that, where I stand at the end of day one is that the president of the United States acted inappropriately and irregularly when it comes to asking an ally to investigate a political opponent. And the reason I say that that was wrong is because if you flip the script and that was Hillary Clinton who had done that, there is no doubt in my mind that the Republicans would be all over it. They'd be talking about how bad it is. And I believe you have to hold both sides equally accountable to right and wrong. So where I'm at today, the president did not act appropriately by asking Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. There are proper channels and ways to deal with corruption. Those ways were spelled out in the hearing today, how you go about that process and what that looks like. The president was outside of that, especially with Rudy Giuliani getting involved. So that's my first conclusion today. The president, wrong. He shouldn't have done it. He should not have done it. But in order for this to rise to the level of impeachment, quid pro quo, extortion, blackmail, whatever you call it, in my opinion, has got to be part of that equation. And the Democrats today failed to connect those dots. You can't have a quid pro quo if the punishment is not made clear. If the, the thing that will happen to you if you don't comply, if that's not made clear. Now, this is where I'm landing on day one. Again, this is just day one. So if you'll stay with me, I'm going to do everything I can to watch as much of these hearings as I can. If the Democrats are able to successfully connect the dots of the quid pro quo, I think that that will be meaningful. If it just ends up being somebody saying, oh, well, I overheard a conversation, that's going to be difficult. It would be difficult in a court of law. I think it should be difficult here because the standard for removing a president is high crimes and misdemeanors. I believe that the standard should be the same standard as a criminal standard in a criminal proceeding. If not, tell the American people what the president did, that it was inappropriate, that it was irregular, whatever you want to use, and let them decide at the polls how they're going to treat that president in an upcoming election. That's where I stand today. Let me know where you stand. If you watched much of the hearings, did you come to the same conclusions that I did after day one? I'll follow your comments in the podcast and be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Like and subscribe. I will try my level best to do a day-by-day coverage of where I stand as a member of the jury on the impeachment hearings that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now. So stay tuned. A lot more witnesses, a lot more evidence to come. That's where I stand after day one.
Thanks for listening to the JMAC podcast. If you'd like to donate to JMAC for Congress, you can go to jmacforutah.com. That's jmacforutah.com.